If you're dealing with any degree of constipation, today's Talking Shit Show video podcast is going to be one you will not want to miss. Because today I'm going to share with you 10 reasons why you're experiencing constipation that you might not have considered. And I'm also going to give you some tips and tricks to resolve that constipative state. So stay tuned. We're going to be talking about constipation today. Welcome back, everybody. I want to welcome my YouTube viewers watching this in the video format and welcome all of our new podcast listeners. It's really exciting to launch this Talking Shit Show here in the podcast sphere. So for all of you watching our video, I hope you will subscribe and follow us on YouTube. And to all of you listening here on the podcast, I hope you will favorite this show. There will be a ton of information and links and details that I'm describing in both the description box on YouTube as well as the show notes. So I want to make that clear. If you're not able to take notes right now, you'll be able to access the show notes and to implement a lot of the tips that you're going to hear in today's topic, which is constipation. Constipation is something that we don't talk about. And in this Talking Shit Show, we're talking all things shit, friends. And it really is a topic that it's still taboo. It is something where when I'm working with my patients, I always ask, usually within the first 10 to 15 minutes, I go through a health history and even existing patients that I see, I want to hear about their digestive process. And a lot of times they're like, wait a second, why are you asking me this? Like, this is not normal. And it's something that occurs every day or should occur every day. Let me just make that clarification, because chronic constipation is in a very, very severe situation. And it affects millions of people all over the world. And there are a ton of stats. I could list off things like there's a greater propensity to cancer, where if you have chronic constipation, and that is something where we consider chronic constipation, if you do not have a bowel movement any more than 3 times a week. So less than 3 times, if you pass a bowel movement, so you take a shit, and you only do that 3 times a week or less, you do it once or twice a week, you are in a chronically constipated state. So I know that's probably going to send shockwaves out into both the video and podcast sphere. And it's something that I talk about routinely. And so just get comfortable for all of you new listeners and for all of you joining me here on YouTube and following my channel. This is a topic that we need to talk about. And so I'm hoping that some of the tongue-in-cheek titling of our content here really gets us breaking down those barriers and so we can dig into the real situation, which is you are not pooping enough. And you probably aren't pooping as frequently as you should be, and there's reasons behind it. And that's really what today we're going to talk about. So the other thing I want to highlight is if I have patients who are not in the chronically constipated state, so again, they're having more than 3 bowel movements a week, which, oh my gosh, it's so insane. I mean, just saying that just makes me feel uncomfortable. It makes my digestive process, it makes my tummy, my abdomen feel just clogged and congested and heavy. And I know for all of you watching and listening, this is you. I'm speaking to you. And so this is a safe space, depending on however you're tuning in. We're going to dig into 10 reasons why you are in this state. And if you are not chronically constipated, I consider you, and it's not just me, but a lot of folks in the functional medicine world, consider you in a constipative state if you are not having more than 2 bowel movements a day. Yes, I said a day because you should be having bowel movements really, ideally, like the way the digestive process should work, is you should be moving your bowels every time after you eat. So essentially you have a meal, 20 to 30 minutes later, that stomach engagement where the stomach actually starts churning and it's getting that muscular contraction to help digest the food, that in turn massages the large intestine. That then allows or should trigger signals from your digestive process up to your brain to eliminate, to have a bowel movement, to poop or take a shit. And what happens is we get kind of hardwired differently. Sometimes for women particularly, we see a change in terms of that signaling, like little girls just ignore the signal when they're at school or when they're traveling. And so over time, things start to go awry. And that's really what this whole entire series is all about. The Talking Shit Show is to deal with that. So first, let's kick off with the number one reason why you are dealing with constipation. And it's your diet. And this could be from a number of reasons. Dehydration, you might not be getting enough fiber. Ideal fiber intake for a grown adult is anywhere from 35 to 40 grams of fiber. The average adult only consumes about 10 grams of fiber. So think about that. You need to kind of 3 to 4 times your intake of fiber, and that might resolve constipation. Similarly, alcohol and or both, caffeine consumption is also dehydrating to the digestive process. The diets that are high in fat and sugar, they also are going to slow things down. And then also diets that are very high in dairy, meat, and gluten, processed foods, those are going to be more prone to constipation. Now that's very easy. Diet is the most common cause of constipation, but it's the easiest to resolve. So out of everything that I'm gonna list here, this is the easiest thing to adjust. So if you are drinking a half a pot or a full pot of coffee, scaling back to 1 or 2 cups might not be a bad thing. And I hear from particularly a lot of my male patients, they say, oh, well, I drink coffee because it helps me move my bowels. Some of that is not necessarily mechanical in helping move the food contents through the digestive process and triggering a bowel movement. It's simply that the hot water, the hot coffee, when it's consumed in the stomach, actually relaxes the large intestine and triggers the bowel movement. So it's not necessarily the caffeine itself, it's the warm beverage. So switching to like dandelion tea, for all of my YouTube viewers, you guys know I recommend dandelion tea all the time. So for all of you podcast listeners, grabbing 1 or 2 cups of dandelion tea a day is going to be very powerful at not just helping relax the muscle tone of the large intestine, but it is a very good liver detoxifier, and that will help enhance the bile production that the liver creates, which creates a sudsing action and moves fluid and contents throughout the digestive process. So again, number one, changing your diet is very, very impactful. The second reason why individuals deal with constipation is hypothyroidism. And there are millions of individuals who are on the cusp or who are in a mild status of hypothyroidism that don't even know it. Maybe they get tested and the numbers are a little skewed. I actually have a whole bunch of information. I have video content as well as downloadable, purchasable digital guides to help you deal with borderline hypothyroidism. We also can run lab testing. I do that all the time in my clinic with my patients to evaluate all of the necessary thyroid numbers. So if you feel like your thyroid values are a little skewed, or you just feel like your thyroid's off and your doctor's not dealing with that, you can actually order your own tests and test yourself, which is so fantastic. Now we can mail those in, we can get the lab results, and we can get definitive action based on quantifiable data, your blood, and analyze those values, because that will tell us a lot about what's going on. Hypothyroidism is not just a thyroid dysfunction. And despite what a lot of people think, the thyroid doesn't really produce a whole lot of thyroid hormone. It signals for the call up of production and synthesis of thyroid hormones. But the liver plays a big, big role in your digestive process. So the production of T3 and T4, and then the reverse, the uptake of those hormones, that's housed in the liver. And so that liver gland and organ, it is a gland, by the way, people, and I can talk about that in future episodes, but the liver is a huge, huge root of constipation. And a lot of that is bogged down from toxicity and chemicals and just everyday life. And if you feel anger or frustrated or find yourself waking up between 1 and 3 a.m. in the morning, that's liver energy. So hypothyroidism is definitely a misdiagnosed reason for constipation. And so if you think you're on that border, Do be proactive and encourage your physicians to test you for your thyroid hormones. And if they don't, there's many different ways that we can get you tested. And I'll encourage you to check out my website where we do have a lot of those test kits that you can order. And in the show notes and in the description box, I'll have links to do that. So the third reason why we see patients who experience constipation is they are either in a pre-diabetic state or a full diabetic state. And so I've bifurcated that. So I kind of identified there's a precursory phase where you are in a pre-diabetic phase in your life, or you have full-blown diabetes where your pancreas is not producing any insulin. There's different scales of diabetes, but when individuals experience diabetes or any pre-diabetic imbalances, it really is a look, or requires a look, at the pancreas. That is the organ gland that is responsible for the production of not just insulin, but its primary function is to produce digestive enzymes. That might be a big aha moment for a lot of our listeners and viewers, because we don't really hear a lot about the pancreas other than you're in a diabetic state. But the primary function, the number one role of your pancreas, is to produce digestive enzymes. If you are having pancreatic dysfunction, where your pancreas is not producing batches of digestive enzymes, and you might be lacking in insulin, or experiencing insulin resistance, which is a very common term for many of you followers and listeners, that means that your digestive imbalances, your constipation, is rooted in your pancreas. Now, there's often a multitude of these different causes of constipation. A lot of times people have several of them. So it might be diet plus a pancreatic dysfunction. But you can resolve your pancreas dysfunction or pancreatic dysfunction very easily by adding in digestive enzymes 20 to 30 minutes before you eat a meal. That helps take the burden of producing specific articulated digestive enzyme batches, which that's how sophisticated our pancreas is. Our pancreas gets a signal when, let's say, we eat a boiled egg, and it says, okay, we're eating a boiled egg, composition is 10% fat and 80% protein, and, you know, whatever else that the egg would comprise of in terms of nutrients and whatnot. Well, the digestive process, that signaling, it tells the pancreas, okay, make X amount of each of those digestive enzymes to help break down that food. So it gets a little complicated when we're talking about diet being a core source of constipation, because it also can be a core source for diabetes. So a lot of times, again, going back to food and diet and good, healthy, nutrient-dense, plant-based, raw, and lightly steamed foods can actually help you resolve a pre-diabetic and sometimes even a diabetic state, despite what you probably have been told before. Okay, so that's the third reason, and a lot of diabetics experience constipation. The easiest and most impactful way for them to resolve constipation is to really support the body with digestive enzymes. And I have a few favorite digestive enzyme products I'll include in show notes in the description box below, where you can grab those. Now let's talk about the fourth reason. This, when I polled my community on both Instagram and YouTube, which, by the way, if you don't follow me on Instagram, you can follow me at Natural Health Resources. It's super easy to find. We are almost at 10,000 followers on that channel, or that social media handle. It's really exciting because our stories are where we communicate best with our audiences. So I hope you will follow us if you are not following us on Instagram. So that was a little bit of a diversion, but I want to talk to you about this poll. I was asking our followers to tell us about some of their digestive grievances. IBS, this fourth source of constipation, was so prevalent. I think we articulated 87% of our Instagram followers had some degree of IBS complaints. And this really breaks down to being a gut-brain disconnection. And that can be from an assortment of reasons. Actually, I can dig into that if you guys want. Let me know in a future podcast and video series here on the Talking Shit Show. But pain, cramping, bloating, gas, those are all really common symptoms of IBS. Sometimes even fluctuations between constipation and diarrhea. Usually the diarrhea kind of kicks off around the menstrual cycle for women. Then also an exorbitant amount of mucus. And a lot of times that's something nobody's talking about. Like sometimes after you do have a bowel movement and you wipe, sometimes there's a kind of mucousy substance. That is mucosal excess. And that mucosal excess is going to trigger for us that we need to resolve some of the imbalances in the digestive flora. So the healthy bacteria we want to support with probiotics. But IBS is definitely a big, big factor. And I find that my patients in my practice, they swing more on the constipative side than they do on the diarrhea side of IBS. But IBS is it can be debilitating. And I've had one of our YouTube followers, we've been messaging back and forth, I think through Facebook or one of the social formats. And she had communicated that she was really embarrassed by her IBS. And, you know, it can be quite uncontrollable. Sometimes the pain and the cramping and the noise of gas can be disruptive. And just even the fear of going to a location or being at an event and not knowing where your bathrooms are, because you might need an exit plan or you might need to be able to be accessible. That can give folks extreme anxiety, which is our fifth reason behind a constipative state. And anxiety is something that a lot of times when we do go and talk to therapists or, you know, general practitioners about just general anxiety, they're not digging into secondary and tertiary symptoms or conditions from that. And constipation is one of the main symptoms of anxiety, primarily because anxiety is connected to our nervous system and our fight and flight response. And if you guys are regular followers or viewers and listeners of mine, you know I'm talking a lot about the stress response of the body and our cortisol levels. Well, cortisol is a huge, huge component in terms of creating that fight or flight response. It's not just adrenaline that produces that response. And we have to address the cortisol to help minimize the impact of anxiety-related constipation. Basically, when you're in a fight or flight mode, the body articulates only what's necessary and essential, and it shuts down or slows down the digestive process. Voila, that's how you get constipation when you have anxiety. Now, the sixth cause of constipation is actually very synonymous with anxiety. It's depression. There's that brain connection again with the gut. And science is actually showcasing that there are more and more connections between our neurotransmitters in our brain and our gut. So the gut and healthy bacteria and nutrient density that might be lacking in the digestive process can be connected to our state of depression. So depression plays a significant role in our state of constipation, and it's one of these things where there is a gut-brain connection. So that gut-brain connection, it sometimes poses the question of, is it the chicken or the egg? But regardless, there is a connection between the gut and the brain, and that disconnect often is linked to neurotransmitters. And what we're seeing in greater scientific research and clinical studies about the gut-brain connection is that the gut controls a lot of the neurotransmitters and sends signals to the brain for happy feelings. And so if you have an unhappy gut, you can have an unhappy brain. And that is a very, very, very mild, that is a very pedantic explanation for that, but essentially the gut and the brain are greatly connected. And so when there is constipation, there can be depression. And when there is depression, there can be constipation. So sometimes those two symptoms or diagnoses are linked. So let's talk about the seventh reason behind constipation. I guarantee you most pharmacists aren't discussing or detailing this with you when you pick up your medications. There are an assortment of medications that are linked to your constipative state. Painkillers, opioids, high blood pressure medicines, particularly those that are calcium blockers, epilepsy medications, antidepressants. There we go, there's that depression gut connection. Diuretic. So for a lot of my lymphatic and lymphedema patients that are prescribed a diuretic to reduce the fluid burden on the body, that can also cause constipation because it's dehydrating the mucosal membrane of the digestive process. Similarly, we'll see calcium supplementation, even antacids can cause constipation. So if you take any assortment of those medications, you might want to consider maybe talking with your doctor. Obviously, be under the care of a medical provider before you make any type of medication decisions, and talk with your pharmacist because sometimes they're all healthier, better alternatives that won't give you that constipative state. So medications are a big factor, and we even see this post-surgically. Some of the surgical workups, some of the medications that you are given while you're under can cause a whole bunch of constipation, even women that have cesarean sections. So the constipation begets more constipation, which then starts to change the digestive makeup and the structure of the digestive process, and then that begets more constipation. And it's a vicious cycle. And so I just want to kind of communicate in this list of 10 items, there may be some leverage, leeway, and some changeability that you might have in your day-to-day lives to help alleviate your constipative state. And I guarantee you are going to feel so much better when you are moving your bowels way more frequently. And just on a side note, when I kicked off this series today and I said, the average person should be moving their bowels 3 to 4 times a day, that doesn't mean that you're having diarrhea. I've had a lot of comments on previous video content that I've put out on my YouTube channel, and people have said, whoa, 3 to 4 times a day, oh my gosh, I'd have diarrhea. That's not really true. The structure, the consistency of the bowel movement is actually a little different than what you probably think it would be. But the reality is you want to be moving those items, the contents, out of the body, because if it stays there, that is toxicity. Now, the eighth reason I've highlighted just a little bit, but this is something that goes back to what I call the bathroom psychology. Okay, so this is a term I've created. And it basically means that we, usually as young children or kids, this definitely affects women more than men. So all you ladies out there, raise your hand right now if this is you, like, amen, sister. Basically, we ignore the urge to go. So we literally stop listening to the signal, the go signal. So you all know when you've had the urge, like, oh, I've got to have a bowel movement. That urge gets ignored. And over time, as we ignore the signal, the brain signaling process starts to malfunction and sometimes gets completely shut off. I actually had a patient, gosh, this is back, I think nine years ago. She came into my practice. She was extremely, extremely constipated, had recorded only one bowel movement every month. Can you imagine? And she was eating normally, like she didn't do any type of changes in her diet. It wasn't like she was just juicing. She had a malfunctioning digestive process. And part of that, we started to talk about this bathroom psychology, about what, as she was growing up, was she taught about bowel movements? And was there a fear around going, having a bowel movement or pooping at school, which is really common for little girls and even grown adults. They sometimes will refuse to use the toilet at work because they don't want anybody to hear or smell or witness or whatever. It just is a psychology thing. And there's no judgment here. I mean, I get it. I experience it, especially when I travel. I have to mentally talk myself into that whole process. And there's a whole bunch of things that I do and I can share with you all here in this series as we continue to put out these episodes. what my tips and tricks are, but going back to ignoring the urge to go, that's a huge, huge reason behind constipation. And I mean, it's just, it makes me cringe. I just thinking like, could you imagine not pooping, but one time a month? I mean, I would be a lunatic. I seriously would be a raging lunatic. I would feel so irritable and would be so angsty. And we did resolve that. I mean, we got her to 5 or 6 bowel movements a week, which was like, she thought I was a miracle worker because she started implementing a lot of these tips that I'm recommending and laying out to you all today. But that's something that I want you to think about. Like if you notice that you maybe even experience the urge to go and you're in a meeting or you're a teacher and you're teaching kids. I mean, it's just the unfortunate part of adult life. In our lifestyles, we just don't always have the ability to just stop everything and poop. And it can play a big role in terms of that whole functionality of the digestive system. So just think about your day-to-day life and when you find that you are more, you're in your, what I say, your most comfortable bathroom psychology state, that is that time when you feel most apt to have bowel movement. And some of us are frequent. In terms of the consistency. So, you know, every day between 8 and 9, I have a bowel movement. Or as soon as I get home between 5 and 6, or after I work out, or, you know, when the kids go down or my husband leaves the house or whatever it is. That is something that I just want you to get tuned into, because I'm going to give you tips definitely for sure in future episodes about how to address this bathroom psychology. But definitely ignoring the urge to go, it's a big no-no, but it's so common. And let's talk about something else that's really common. So on the brighter side, this number 9, the 9th reason why we experience constipation is actually because of a lack of minerals, particularly an essential mineral called magnesium. And magnesium actually helps to articulate excess fluid and moves it to the digestive process. So that is a hydration to the digestive system. And for the most part, most of us are walking around in some minerally deficient state. For sure, we're in a magnesium deficiency. And that magnesium deficiency is something that can greatly be addressed by increasing your liquid ionic multiminerals. You can add in cell food. I highlighted cell food in a recent video on my YouTube channel, but cell food is an amazing blend of assorted minerals and nutrients. But magnesium all on its own is an essential part of a good, healthy, working, functioning digestive process. If you are not getting magnesium, you need to be. And generally what we look at is we will see individuals at about 400 milligrams per day of magnesium. So a lot of times I get asked, what type of magnesium do you recommend, Dr. Melissa? What should I take? Should I take powdered form? Should I take a citrate, a glycinate? There are a lot of different types. And what I recommend is that you experiment with magnesium and see how you do. Some of my patients cannot tolerate magnesium citrate. It causes constipation. And that particular version of magnesium is something that I equate to bowel tolerance like I would a vitamin C. But there is magnesium glycinate, which I'm a big fan of. I like ionic magnesium. I like liquid and powder, kind of effervescent. That's always my go-to before capsules and tabs, because your digestive process has to break that down. And if you are in a constipative state, I'm going to look at that as an unreliable digestive process. And I see that as, in the functional medicine world, I see that as a unreliable and potentially inefficient way to digest nutrients. And so if we can deliver the easiest, most available forms of nutrients, i.e. liquid and effervescent powders, those are going to be very beneficial to addressing this imbalance. And magnesium is one of these things where I have patients who start taking magnesium and it works within 12 hours. And it's not like going to cause, you know, a crazy blowout diarrhea or anything like that, but it will get your bowels moving. And it's very, very promotive of a much easier flow. And so if you've had hard, rocky, pebbly like stool, so that's what the poop or the bowel movement looks like, that's what we call stool. If the stool looks just dehydrated, that will change when you start taking magnesium. And I have some patients that they're taking two doses of magnesium, or sometimes they divide out the doses throughout the day. But magnesium is just a wonderful addition to an everyday diet. And I support that across the board. So to wrap this up, friends, I want to share with you our 10th and final reason behind our constipative states we might find ourselves in that might be chronic or it might be occasional. And it boils down to the state of our pelvic floor. And we call it pelvic floor dysfunction. This is where the lower abdomen, the hips and the pelvis, the muscles and the spinal alignment just is not all right. And sometimes that is what we would consider digestively. It functions like a girdle. It kind of keeps everything up and supported. Well, if you've had pregnancies or you've had surgeries, and this across the board, men and women will have hernia surgeries that can impact the pelvic floor. We can have prostate surgeries, ovarian surgeries. We can also have uterine ablations that can impact the pelvic floor. Organ removal, like the removal of an appendix or even a gallbladder, can impact the pelvic floor because of the scarring and just the restructuring of things. This is very, very common for my ladies who have hysterectomies, partial or full hysterectomies, where there is now a void where there was an organ and things kind of sink down. So it becomes really key that you employ pelvic floor strengthening exercises. I'm a huge fan of using foam rollers and yoga and Kegel exercises, both men and women, particularly for a lot of my male viewers. They come to my YouTube channel and my website via their search for resolving prostate challenges and erectile dysfunction. That's all pelvic floor related. And so those are two really kind of key things to consider if you do experience constipation and you've had surgeries or scarring or organ glandular removal. So I'll share with you a personal experience that I had after having Gabriel. So my son now is 4.5 years old. That kid has a mind of his own and he's so stubborn. He's like me, very strong-willed. And as a baby, he was tucked down deep in my pelvis. And at the 3rd or 4th month, I had debilitating round ligament pain. And that then kind of kicked off where I was always carrying him really low. And it just affected the way my pelvis operated. After having him, we had a natural delivery, no pain. It was a 5.5 hour labor, super easy. After I had him, I noticed my pelvic floor was not as strong. And it was like things had gotten so stretched out, I had to tighten things up. And I'm still working on it. My left hip's still out of whack a little bit. So I see chiropractic work and do all sorts of pelvic floor strengthening. But that is something we don't talk about. And that's a huge part. If you sit for a long time at your office, guess what? You have a weak pelvic floor. You don't even have to have surgery. You don't have to have had a pregnancy or any type of, surgery or scar tissue development. You just have a weaker lower pelvis. And that plays a big role in your constipative state. So those, friends, those are the 10 reasons behind common constipative and chronic constipative states. I hope you found these tips helpful. Most importantly, I hope you found the resolution to these challenges more impactful, and I hope you'll start to implement these in your day-to-day lives. And I'm really curious to hear all your comments and feedback as you begin to see some of these positive changes, as you add magnesium in, and maybe you add 3 or 4 more servings of greens and add in some good pelvic floor exercises. You'll start to see that constipative state resolve. And definitely the most important tip is one of the latter tips, which is to not ignore the urge. If you experience the urge, drop everything if you can and go have a bowel movement, because that encourages the signaling. Sometimes we just gotta wake things up and get things moving, because this is all about moving the shit out of your body. Keep it out of your body. Get rid of the toxicity, get rid of excess cholesterol, excess fat. All of that clogs up our system and causes a more constipative state. So it's just a vicious, vicious cycle, and just moving things out is really, really impactful. And I promise, as things get moving, you're going to be feeling so fantastic. And I can't wait to hear all your stories. So friends, thanks for tuning in. If you found this impactful, I hope you will follow, subscribe. If you are not a YouTube viewer, go run over to YouTube. You can find us at Natural Health Resources. So this podcast, you can favorite and add to your library. We're available on iTunes and all of the main podcasting resource sites. And we actually have our own website, thetalkingshitshow.com. I hope you'll check that out, where you can find more information and a lot of products that I recommend for folks that want to balance their digestive process. So do check out that website and stay tuned for our next episode. I'm always appreciative of your commentary, and I hope you will email me or comment on the format here. Comment down below for all my YouTube viewers on the video. Let me know what future topics you want me to discuss here on our Talking Shit Show. So until next time, friends, happy shitting. So thanks for tuning in, YouTube friends. I am so grateful to launch this whole podcast setup. Oops. I have my laptop here. You can't really see it, but it's down here. This is how I'm controlling all the audio here, and I hear myself here. So it's kind of weird for me, but that is going to be the setup for the Talking Shit Show moving forward. I might be interviewing guests. I might have Skype sessions. So it might change and vary a little bit, but if you are interested, you can grab this podcast. I'll include links where you can grab the podcast down below. I hope you will definitely support the podcast, share it to all your channels socially, and email it to friends. The more the merrier who tune in and listen to this valuable content. Thanks, friends. I'll see you on our next video.